This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today, Troy Appelhans with Cattle Facts. That's coming up in just a moment. Arlen Suderman is with StoneX. Do you remember back in, 2006, nearly 20 years ago, then President George W. Bush said we'd be using switchgrass for fuel?
EPA is still trying to push things in that direction. It's just the technology simply isn't there yet. But I think the encouraging thing is instead of fighting each other in court, we have the two sides working together. And one big difference from Trump 1.0 is the fossil fuel industry is heavily bought into the biofuel industry now. And so rather than opponents now, they have more in common than what they did a decade ago.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Troy Appelhans is Senior Market Analyst with Cattle Facts.
We know what the challenges are to restocking and/or expansion. This has been something that's been drilled into our heads, the long-term weather patterns. There's certainly the incentive to want to do this if you have some place to go with them. Age of producer, labor availability, and cost. The urban sprawl, the cost of capital, interest rates are higher today than they were during the last cycle, certainly. Alternative land use, we continue to lose more of our pasture and grasslands. The amount of cattle in drought, right? I look back towards that last time when we really expanded in 2014, 15, 16. Weather patterns were certainly suggesting that we should do that. We've had a very high percentage of the overall beef cow herd in drought for a long period of time. That's got us in the position that we're in, yet we're still continuing to produce more with less. A lot of that's due to carcass weights. This is a long-term look at the cattle cycles, okay? As we go back and we talk about these 10-year to 11-year cycles, normally you have 4 to 5 years that are in the up part of the cycle, and you have 5 to 6 years that are in the down part of the cycle. We're another year deeper into this, folks. There is an expiration date to the uptrend. We know that there is. What we are suggesting, though, is we don't feel like that the prices have to fall off a cliff like they did during the last cycle, back in 14 and 15, 16 time period. We would suggest that this cycle can last longer, that these higher prices can last longer, even though we've peaked the price. My personal opinion, I think that there's a high probability that we see the cycle highs sometime this year, whether it be this summer, whether it be next fall. A lot of the data would also suggest that we can still enjoy very high prices in 2026. But normally when we see the highest prices is when we have the lowest beef cow herd numbers. And the data would suggest that that is just this year. The other component of this is obviously feed prices, right? We look at the two circles on here. These are the drought years. Andy referred to them. 2010, 11, 12, we were in a drought. Feed prices got high. We've certainly been in a drought the last several years, even though we've produced a lot of corn. We look at the hay prices as well. We've had some timely rains in some pretty key situations that we've been able to increase hay production, and we've got less usage of it because we've got fewer cows. This has brought feed prices down. This is a vulnerability going forward. I don't think that the feed prices, the corn, is going to get out of hand on us this year. We've got another 5 million acres that is expected to be planted. They're expecting a record yield of 181 bushels per acre. If this were to occur, certainly we have corn prices that won't get out of hand on us. If we get into a drought, which Matt may suggest is going to occur, then that's another vulnerability to the market as we know. I want to go quickly into the price forecast, and we open ourselves up for criticism in this as we go through this because things can change pretty quickly. This is a very fluid situation. The fundamentals can change of the market. Hopefully I've reiterated just how that can happen. Before we get into this, I want to, these are some of the things that we look at the components of price forecasting. All of these can have subcategories to them. These are things that Cattle Facts has to forecast in order to come up with price projections. I'm not asking for latitude with regards to our price forecast. We're looking at the fundamentals of the market, and as we know that the fundamentals can change, but as we look at all of these items that we have to kind of make some assumptions on, I just want to reiterate the fact that this isn't easy. to always forecast prices. We look at Fed steer prices. Last year we had a U.S. average of about 215. The market would suggest that it's been flatter the past several years. It would also suggest that the highs come later with the way we feed cattle today. It used to be 130 days on feed, then it went to 150, then it's 180. Now we're feeding cattle, a lot of them over 200 days. It's made the decline in the supply basically hit when you have your strongest demand in that May and June time period, and that's when the high price highs in the Fed cattle market have come over the past couple of years. I think we're going to spend a lot of time between 2 and 210 potentially in the market. I think we've got very good support at 195. Certainly, we've got potential to run the market up to 225, maybe even higher, if some things kind of go our way. The feeder cattle index, for instance, as we look at this, this has been also a very flat market over the past couple of years and kind of continues to be presently. I think we could go to $3 on the August-September futures, maybe higher. That's going to provide some pretty big resistance because of the break-evens that it would imply for cattle feeders. Cattle feeders have been very profitable. They're going to bet on the come as we go forward. I think we can spend a lot of time between 280 and 290 fundamentally on cattle going forward here through the balance of summer into the fall time period.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Experience the power of Enfinity this spring. Loveland Products' newest nitrogen management innovation is available now, with three modes of action to boost naturally occurring nitrogen in the root zone and support your crops through the season. Step into a world where nitrogen comes naturally. Take advantage of this product by visiting lovelandproducts.com/infinity or contacting your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Troy Appelhans is Senior Market Analyst with Cattle Facts, speaking recently in Texas at a Hemphill County Beef Cattle Conference.
Calf prices, again, hasn't really been seasonal the past couple of years. The gray line on here is the seasonality of the calf market. You would expect it to go through its lows during the fall time period when we make the run. We're anticipating that we'll average somewhere in 340, 345. Feel like that we will have very good support to the market somewhere around this 330 as we go through that fall time period. I think there's a lot of money is going to be made in the cow-calf business over the next several years. The product is just simply in that high of a demand. Utility cow prices, your coal cows, this has been something that's been very beneficial. The swap on this has been incredibly good, right? You sell a coal cow, go out there and been able to buy bred heifer for not a whole heck of a lot more money prior to this last fall. Why are bred heifer prices pretty cheap? Well, we haven't had anywhere to go with them. I wouldn't say they're cheap, but I would say that this is one of the best, most profitable things that's in the business today. There's been a lot of them that have sold between $3,500 to $4,000 all year this past fall. That's what I say. The demand is certainly there for us to expand. The financial incentive is there. I think as we get into that fall time period, these bred heifer values certainly have the potential to go up there an average of $4,000 per head. There's a very tight correlation between bred female prices and fed cattle prices. Now, there's some different seasonalities in here, but you look at this data over time, and whatever fed cattle are bringing, that's a pretty good indicator of what the average price for these bred females will be going forward. I showed you a little bit of this data last year, and as we evaluate this, and I have to explain a little bit of what this is. This is simply taking the purchase price of a bred heifer, you're including your cost until you get that calf weaned and sold, okay? So it doesn't have anything to do with, it's a straight cash cost, doesn't have any coal cow values in here at all. How many calves does this female have to have before she's actually generating a profit for me? In other words, I buy her, I put my costs into her on an annual basis, and how many calves does she have to have or me to sell before she's generating a profit? The average over time has been 4.5, okay? It seems like a long time to wait for some profit, but that's what the data would imply. Certainly, at this point in time, we're under the average. Well, when we're under the average here historically, why is that? Typically because we're in a drought and there's no place to go with them, right? That's what this data would imply. As we look at this in terms of what, you know, we're actually estimating the average price for steers and heifers in this. We're using 550-pound steer price as a reference. We would suggest that over the next several years that these calf prices can average on a U.S. basis somewhere around $320. That's including your heifer calves that are 10-12% back of your steer calf prices. 4.5 calves is the average. When we're looking at this, you can see what this would imply is that these bred heifers, if we're stretching it out to 5, would go up to this $4,300 level. That would imply that this may be the highs prices for bred females during this cycle. The other thing I want to show is that this data comes straight from our cow-calf survey. Whether you believe the cow costs, the cash costs are right or not, it is what comes across on our survey. Maybe your costs are higher than this. That's probably the case in most of these instances. But as we look back at this historically, we're taking the cash costs based on the revenue of the calf and saying, what is the net revenue? Well, there's not very many years as we look back at this historically where it's been over $200 per head, is it? We've obviously been able to do that, and we think we're going to continue to be able to do that and be at the elevated ranges of this data here over the next several years. I show you this every year. This is one of the most important slides that I have. As we divide this industry by segment, cow-calf, stocker, fed cattle, packer, look at 1980 to 1998. We talked about demand erosion, right? We weren't producing a very high-quality product. Not only that, there wasn't any money in this industry. We're looking at talking about, you can look at this as a per-head charge, talking about $32 to be divided by all four segments of that. Wasn't a very good business at all. What did we do? We increased the product that we were producing. And obviously, we've got more dollars in the system. There's more dollars to be spread around to all of these segments. Then it becomes about leverage. How much leverage do you as a cow-calf producer have? You've got the most of all of these segments going forward. Look at 2016 to 2022 in the yellow bar. When we lost leverage within the marketplace, the packer had all the leverage. They were making obscene profits, right? This is something that we want to try to avoid. We've got the packer back to a level where they're near a break even. We've actually got them losing some money in many instances right now. But this is that business. Cow-calf producers should continue to generate the most leverage within the marketplace. So we look at this in terms of annual real U.S. cattle prices, inflation adjusted into $2,024 dollars. Don't necessarily look at the overall price value. Look at the trend. I don't think we're going to experience what we saw in 2014, 15, 16, where we just fall off a cliff. I think this is a higher prices last longer, even though we've already seen our peak.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. We heard from Troy Appelhun, Senior Market Analyst with Cattle Facts today, online, cattlefacts.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
An update on when the federal government's new dietary guidelines for Americans will be released.
You'll see by the end of this year, hopefully early fall, the new set of dietary guidelines coming out from our two agencies.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins Wednesday testifying before a House Appropriations Subcommittee. USDA, along with the Department of Health and Human Services, collaborates to develop recommended dietary guidelines every 5 years. For guidelines covering the period between 2025 and 2030,
Secretary Kennedy and I are working on that together as we speak.
In terms of what the proposed dietary guidelines might look like, Secretary Rollins believes the revised guidelines will
speak directly to the American family. It will support our local farmers and producers.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.